This is an Encounter Co. podcast. Enjoy. Hey, want a break from the ads?
Yes, please.
Want me to tell you how to get this show ad-free forever for just the price of a cup of coffee?
Yes, please.
What if I told you that not only could you get this show ad-free, but you can get access to loads of other goodies, such as The Table Talk Show, a bi-weekly talk show where the cast of The Encounter Table get together and discuss their favorite moments of each episode, answer listener questions, and more.
Yeah,
but what if I told you that's not all? What if I also told you that depending on your tier, you can get access to all of our stretch goal mini campaigns, uncut episodes with editor notes, random bi-weekly bonus content that can be like literally anything, like a Smash Your Pass drinking game, the cast playing Mafia, Jackbox party games on Discord.
Oh my god, shut up, just shut up and tell me. Fuck.
Okay. You just go to patreon.com/theencountertablepod.
Oh, it's that easy, huh? Just go to patreon.com/theencountertablepod?
Yeah, dude. patreon.com/theencountertablepod. Or, you know, you could just go to the episode description.
Huh. That is easy. Can we get back to the show now?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
The Encounter Table is an explicit podcast meant for adult listeners only. If you are not above the age of 18, we won't tell your mother. But we could, because we do know her intimately.
Oh, yes, you fucking nerds.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Encounter Table, a D&D real play podcast about three unfortunate fellas taken throughout quite a few dimensions now. But really, they only have one goal at this point, and that is to hunt down an evil little bitch boy named Marvin, who started all this shit, and then ultimately find their way back home. But for now, they are stuck in the fantastical world of Ocursus. Yeah, that's the one. So usually I only read one review. Of you? I'm turning into Son Ho-Oh.
What do we?
So usually I only read one review, but this week I'm going to do two just briefly.
Yo, Daddy giving us a treat today.
Yeah, Daddy giving us a treat.
Thank you.
So the first one, again, both of these are over on Spotify. So if you want your reviews read on the podcast, go over to Spotify.
Get the fuck over.
We do a lot of work with our friends over at Spotify. They've been nothing but great to us. So first off, from Jeezy, I loved you and Akon in that one track. They said, I absolutely need the Ocursus, and then in parentheses, I don't know if I spelled that right. You didn't, but it's okay. D&D campaign setting, or maybe just a Paladin Oath of the Shackles PDF.
Oh, we got to get on that.
That will be coming. Yeah. I mean, we'll be releasing a PDF for the Oath of the Shackles Paladin subclass at the end of this campaign. And then I will have another subclass made for Let Them Eat Cake.
Oh, man.
And then if Joe allows it, I will have another one written for Age of the Bronze Mage.
Oh, yeah.
We can also get the one that me and...
that you and Kane made? Yeah.
It was like 90% Ranger.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So... Yeah, so there will be, at first, like single release PDFs of some subclasses, but in the distant future, maybe a campaign or two from now, I really, 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 really want to have a an entire like Tet expansion book for D&D.
So fun.
Maybe a new class or two. Maybe you know, it's
just see where stay it goes, tuned, man.
Just stay tuned, but yeah, that kind of stuff is coming. And the second review is from Silly Lemon, and they said, this podcast is the equivalent of crack cocaine to me.
Oh, Lemon, you're formed... so silly.
Oh, she's so silly. I have formed a severe addiction to this podcast. I would trade my left kneecap for this podcast. Well, you can send us your left kneecap in a P.O. box. That doesn't exist. That was a lie.
You'll regret that later.
You'll regret that. My name is Brandon Hall, and I play Dex Turner, the he is back to I guess Hex sword swinging armor wearing, shield wielding, hoodie wearing, not a beanie wearing, friend protecting, mom fucking and finding, cat, no, lion boy, lion little emo boy of the crew. It's not your fault, but mine.
That I is really fucked theme song it now. Up this time. Didn't I, my dear?
God.
Yeah. fun fact about Dex. I think I'm going to go a little bit of British slander, I think.
Oh, baby. That never gets old on
really,
the show.
Really?
It doesn't.
Really
it's always
set
good.
The tone, really.
It's mm-mm. always good. Dex thinks that because he's played D&D a couple times, really only like one shots. I think he tried to join a campaign at one point, but then he realized that it's like a weekly commitment, which just completely turned him off to it. But he was fully convinced that orcs and ogres are modeled after British people because of the teeth or the tusks.
Wow.
And yeah, that's why Dex assumes this because the DM gave all of them the British accent. You know what
I was
going
to say. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard an orc that didn't have like a Western yap to it. You know.
Well, I mean, there was Dungeons and Daddies. They made their orcs like Valley Bros.
Oh yeah,
and they all talked like this, and I thought that was like super fun.
That was. I always make my orcs Australian. I don't know why. That just seems right.
I make them Southern. I think it's fitting. Just yeah. Big hulking, like, yeah, well, you know, there's just that. Anyways, we are joined today by my dear friend Luke Godfrey.
Gather here today.
Howdy, it's gamers. My name is Luke Godfrey. I play Scott Travis, the gamer boy turned druid, who wholesome. Nice, simple, fun fact for Scott, because I feel like this is going to be a less wholesome episode for him. His favorite Pokemon is Gengar. He has a big, he has the Squishmallow, and he also hell has yeah. a big, like, Gengar beanie that his mom actually sewed for him together out of just a regular beanbag yeah. chair.
Honestly, W for Scott.
W mom.
W for Scott.
He's not a coward like I am, dude. I used to love Gengar, and then, like, everyone who wanted to be edgy was like, Gengar is actually my favorite. And then, like, it just made me like, I was like, you know what?
I don't think I like Gengar.
I'm good.
Don't let the cool kids ruin anything for you. But also, don't be the guy that was like, I liked it before, it's cool. Both are bad.
And I'm both of those things. We're also joined by Joe LaChoice.
Yo, what up, everybody? It's your local
shit,
British guy.
Here.
Hey, everybody, it's your local Brit.
I play Preston Adeline on this show, who's already been slandered by one of my co-hosts, but he is the Draconic Sorcerer half-elf, whose fun fact of the day is he organizes his video games by chronological order in-game universe and not alphabetically.
Yo.
Except what?
That's pretty
That's
metal.
Cool as hell.
That's what? Pretty metal, actually.
He does it. When you said I don't do it alphabetically, I like had a aneurysm. What do you mean?
So like he with like any video game series, rather than go alphabetical or like release date, he does it chronologically by how the story would say. Which for most game series would make sense, right? But like some of them, you know, you travel kind of here, there, and everywhere.
But what about Zelda?
Ooh, yeah.
Because Zelda is fucked. Zelda's
horrible. We need Preston's abridged timeline for what the Zelda verse looks like.
You want to get Joe crucified like that?
Sure.
Hey, I'm really going to do it to myself. I won't even have to go into that. I don't Hell know yeah. enough about Zelda. I'll be
honestly,
honest,
that's
man.
That's,
I don't know.
That's safe.
I don't know much. I like it. I think Link's a badass boy. And I know enough badass. To say that Zelda is not the character you play as for most of the games.
Good job, Joe. Good job, Joe.
Yep. You're on a good roll.
Stay back, fanboys.
I'll be with you, Joe. I've never played a Zelda, so.
I've never played a Zelda.
I've never played a Zelda. I've played any of the new ones, any of the old ones?
I guess I played Breath of the Wild for like an hour and a half and despised it. So I guess that one. But
it's okay. I'm also in that camp.
I have seen all the ones that the Game Grumps have played. I've watched their entire playthrough. So like I enjoyed watching them, but I've never had the want or the enjoyment of actually playing them.
Gotcha. I think that's fair.
Listener, there's a little guy, little fella, little mustache wielder, and he's been kicking up a storm around the Forgotten Realms and Ocursus and the podcast domain for like almost half a decade, if not more, like 6 years, 7 years
that I've been playing. Or
well, the D&D part for like more than a decade, a podcasting part around half, if not longer than more than half a decade.
Somebody stop, he's having a stroke.
I know, right?
Tomato soup.
All that to say, he is a veteran, a 4-star general the land of Ocursus. Not one of Marvin's generals, don't worry. I guess he is today. His name is Austin J. Norton.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate the offer to come on and do this thing with you.
Oh, no.
Fun fact about me. My first RPG I ever played that was a video game was Fallout 3.
Whoa.
Damn.
That's a good one. That's a pretty good intro.
That's a good one.
Did you play it when it came out or did you play it like years later? I think that matters.
What was it? It came out in 07. So I was 12. So it was like 08 or 09. So.
Okay. Yeah. So it was still like Bethesda wasn't a little outdated by this point. That's good. No. So you got it in its prime.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. And
I wish
fell in love with Megaton, and like a good litmus test is if I'm going to like someone is if I ask, hey, what did you do with Megaton? Because I don't know if you guys have played the game,
but
you can almost immediately when you walk into the bar, you get asked by some rich guy in a suit. He's like, hey, my boss wants you to do something. And you go talk to the boss who lives in this big tower. And you could see Megaton on his skyline, and he's like, hey, I want you to rig the bomb to explode because there's a giant atom bomb in the middle of the town that is still active, but it didn't go off because Megaton's in a crater. And he's like, hey, I want you to blow that up so that it's not in my skyline anymore. And do that for me. And I asked people, I was like, did you blow it up or disarm it? And if they blew it up, I promptly leave the conversation.
Could you just kill the guy?
Yeah, you could just kill the guy.
Oh, yeah, I'll just do that.
Yeah, that's what I did. He asked me and I killed him.
Well, there you go.
It's like, sure, let me just, bam!
Yeah, and then I didn't obviously arm it. I, like, disarmed it or whatever. But, yeah, for a long time, and, like, honestly, probably still today, I would probably, if someone said they were like, yeah, dude, I blew up that, fuck that town, I blew it up. Because it kills everyone. It kills, like, 100 people that aren't evil. They're just people.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucked.
That's my fun fact. I thought it was going to be boring, but then I remembered the Megaton thing that I would get in fights with in middle school and high school about.
Damn. Hey, and those fights were well fought. You're fighting the good fight. That's what I like to hear. That is our DM.
Grab your dice, pick up your mice, and drink some water with your ice. I'm your DM for the remainder of this arc, Austin Norton. Welcome to the goddamn encounter table. Let's go! As you two follow Scott out to the quad, and the thousands of locusts kind of form Marvin's face in the sky. You hear his obnoxious voice pour out of every little locust. So it's all one voice, but you can kind of tell that it's multiple, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He looks around. You don't think he can actually see you, but he is pretending he can. And he is, hello, bud eaters. I see you have made it out of the swamp.
Oh, actually, we're behind you, Marvin. You're looking the wrong way.
We're over here, dickhead.
And killed one of my generals, since I no longer feel her connection. I hope you all know that within the day, an elite squad of soldiers will be there to destroy you all. Toodaloo!
Why is it...
Wait, Marvin, quick question.
You see it just a...
Oh, what a pussy.
All right. He is a bit of a right twat, isn't he?
BJ Bendejo. So here's what we're going to do. Scott, what should we do? Wait, fuck, where'd Scott go?
Scott!
Yeah, where's Scott at right now?
Off in the distance. I don't even know if he heard Marvin or the locusts, or even if he could, if he bothered to pay attention. He is just
flying. Can we still see you? Are you like invisible light of sign?
I didn't
sign of light.
Turn invisible. I don't, however long that thing took, I'm dashing. I'm going 60 feet a second.
You can go 60 feet a second. Yeah.
10 feet a second.
He's a bullet.
I can do math.
God.
10 feet per second.
And that was like 2 minutes. So, like, yeah, you're.
Okay. Yeah. I'm out of there.
Yeah. Cause remember, the college is like maybe half a mile out of town. Like, it's just kind of like on a.
Yeah. No, he's heading back into town.
Okay. Well, then I guess we'll do Joe. We'll do Joe and Brandon. Joe, you're here. Brandon, you guys are here now.
Hey, everybody.
So no, or we'll do Preston and Dex first here. Then, so as that two happens, you see the crowd of people are all kind of just like steely eyed, looking at the sky. Some of them look angry. Some look scared. But you all see magic kind of surging through all of them. And you hear footsteps approaching you guys.
Can we tell by like the sound of the footsteps if this is like a big thing or like a normal thing? Or?
It's like just like a person is approaching you guys.
Oh,
yeah. And you like four or five turn around and you see Tilnok. She is walking up to you guys, and she is in full like flowy robes now. Like, she is wearing like a headmistress level outfit.
Oh,
whoa.
And you see she walks up to you guys and she says, I don't want any of you to feel like you need to stay. We have enough firepower here that we can handle anything he throws at us.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I would love to stay regardless, but we have some rather pressing things to take care of. And one of our companions kind of flew away. So we need to figure out where exactly he went. But right, you guys are more than capable, but I don't even know how we would get into contact with one another.
I'm pretty sure like the thing with Chewie, we can kind of just,
yeah, we saw the
I forgot that. That's a handy little tool.
Yes, whenever you're ready, just contact me.
Yeah, Preston, maybe if you were looking at her eyes and not her bug tits, you would have seen she's been talking in our heads this whole time.
Excuse me.
I do have bug tits. honestly, she does have bug tits, but it's so weird, like, seeing her mouth move and, like, click and stuff and hearing it in your head. Like, that would be so weird.
Yeah.
And she is gesturing with, like, her four arms, but, like, it's still so, like, alien, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have built up enough with the town that I will solely convince them, and we should have them on our side, and we should be able to establish a base here with operations with guys and us, and everything should be fine. So,
good, good.
Whenever you're ready, just call us, and you know we will meet Chewie on the way, and we will all meet you for whatever you need us to do at the end.
Right.
Okay.
Don't engage Marvin on his terms. You know, he's very manipulative in that way. it's best for you guys to just kind of wall up and not give him any real chances to catch you out in the open.
We will. Don't you worry. We'll be okay. I feel like once he sends one here, realizes you're not here, he's gonna move on, so...
Dex is gonna, like, start, like, patting himself a little bit. And he's gonna grab one of the sleeves off of his hoodie and rip it off and hand it to Tilnak and be like, you killed me.
Oh.
And he winks.
You killed
me. That's good.
You want... Okay. What do I say about the others then?
Dex rips a little bit of Preston. he plucks a scale.
I saw ripping a fingernail off.
Oh no.
That's
it's too late. It can't be undone. It will probably go back. I don't know. I haven't had scales before.
And Dex is like, hold on. And he like runs off and you're like a and he runs back holding a feather and he's like, and you killed Scott.
Okay.
It's just a chicken feather.
Yeah.
I will do my best. I do not think he's going to believe me, but I will do my best.
Well, he's kind of fucking dumb because he hasn't caught us yet, but
thank you.
Maybe he just hasn't even tried.
That I like my rendition better.
Well, I mean, he did somehow infiltrate the school and take down a high functioning wizard academy and
tomatoes, potatoes. You know, it's not really how he does it. It's if he succeeds or not. And so far, he hasn't succeeded.
You know, Tilnok, maybe it's best to, like, try to encourage the guys who are, you know, like, saving the fucking world.
I'm not trying to discourage you, Dex.
It kind of seems like it.
I'm sorry. My people are very straightforward.
It's okay. So are mine.
It's a respectable quality to have.
I do think you can. Or we wouldn't even be having this conversation. I just don't want you to underestimate Marvin, because in the month and a half or so he's been here, he has infiltrated one of the most dangerous cults and then tricked most of this kingdom in believing that he isn't a vile villain anymore. So,
you know, that's a fair point. It is. But you're missing one crucial detail.
She looks to you.
I'm pretty sure you're also underestimating us. He might even be able to hear this right now. And he's scared.
You see like what a smile could be on a mouth that is all, you know, buggy.
Mandibles.
And she says,
the mandible turns like a little heart.
Aw.
And why do you think I am confident you can do it?
Aw.
And she bows to all of you and kind of just walks. She begins talking to some other like wizards and stuff about things to do.
I turned to Dex really quick. It's like, I swear I was not looking at anywhere else besides her eyes.
Preston.
I'm in a complicated position right now. I don't know what Kathy and I are. And
Preston.
And it seemed like she was pretty close to Chewie, so it's, you know, I don't want, you know, it's not.
You were doing window shopping. I know that term now.
I don't think you do. That's not apply at all to what we were just talking about.
Wait, really? Fuck. I mean, even if you weren't, if you weren't, he like winks at Preston.
Stop winking at me. I don't like what you're implying.
She goes, I mean, boys, she did have a boob window, so I don't think she was really hiding it.
Oh, Nope. Don't even know what that is. Nope.
See, Preston, even Kathy knows.
Yeah, she's hot. It's weird, but it's hot. You know what I mean? It's fine.
No, I don't know what you mean. Nope. But yeah, okay, that's
moving
fine.
On. Let's go find Scott. We don't need. Nope. repressing these emotions.
This portion of today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over at NordVPN.
But Brandon, what's NordVPN?
I am glad you asked. NordVPN is the most secure, fastest, safest, and easiest to use VPN on the market.
Is it easy enough for me to use on my cellular device that I use in the hole that I live in? Because I haven't heard of NordVPN.
With a single click, baby.
Oh, love it.
Did you know that every single website that you visit has full access to your IP address and your internet service provider?
I feel violated.
You should, because a lot of these websites are doing that without you even knowing. But do not wander off into the wild, wild west of the internet without your six shooter on your hip, baby. That six shooter being NordVPN. They will keep you covered and protected, and it's the fastest VPN on the market. It won't even slow down your browsing.
Huh. That's pretty useful. I got pretty slow internet. I don't want a VPN slowing it down, so that's some good shit.
But you see, Luke, that's not all it does. Did you know that Netflix catalogs available in Canada and the United States have the joint lowest average IMDb score of only 6.95?
What does that mean?
That means our movies suck here for Netflix.
Damn.
Netflix isn't really getting the best movies for the US and Canada audience. But South Korea has 109 Oscar-winning films in its Netflix catalog. And you can have full access to those by using a VPN and setting your search address from South Korea.
Huh. So I can basically get any of the shows or movies that I want to through one subscription and not having to pay for a ton.
Exactly.
Well, Brandon, where do we sign up?
That's the easiest part, buddy. You just click the link in the episode description and get started with NordVPN today. Don't wait. I'm looking at your IP address right now. It starts with a 3.
your guys' mounts are still at the stables, and you still have to get your sword finished, Dix.
Oh yeah,
but you did summon it during that fight, so you're gonna have to go back and you look at it, you're looking at it, it's like he's like 90% done with it. So you're gonna have to probably
There's
go
like
back
a and get it going over the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably wants this back.
It's like a computer load-in.
So yeah, you guys, what do you guys do then? Which way do you head?
Probably to the stables real quick to grab our mounts. Dex is gonna latch.
First, I'm gonna go up to Ember. I'm gonna brush her mane and tell her that she's a great horse, and that I'm sorry that I left her for so long.
Oh, so you guys are going in the town then?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay, so as you guys are doing that, we're going to cut to Scott real quick. Because it's going to take you guys about 30 minutes to get there. And Scott has made it. So,
huge.
Scott, you are back in town. I'm trying to remember what town we were in. Smokefell?
I think it was Smokefell.
Smokefell.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm...
Oh, yeah, because the tavern is the Smoking Servo.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm beelining it back to Tix's shop.
Okay. Yeah, you see, it is about late afternoon at this point, and you see there is a closed sign on it, but you do come to the shop.
Okay. I just start frantically, like, knocking on the door and just, like, kind of pacing back and forth a little bit.
You hear it unlock, and it swings open. You don't see anybody.
Tix? Hello? Hello? I walk in. I'm gonna walk in.
The door closes behind you and locks.
That's not creepy at all. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Tix? Is that you?
Yes.
You, said last time we were here that if, we needed help with Marvin, that you would be there. So this is me calling in that favor a little bit. I've still got, like, 3,000 gold, so whatever you need, whatever upgrades you can give me, now's the time.
You hear, you kept hearing her voice in different parts of the store, and you hear, "Of course, sweetie." And you look to your right, and she's sitting on a shelf,
next to you, kind of at your eye level.
Hi. What's the best shit you can give me?
Well, there isn't a price on that one, unfortunately.
What does that mean?
She just smiles.
I don't. I'm so sorry.
What are you looking for?
Something that is good at killing people. Something that can help me kill someone in the most efficient way possible.
So you wanted some poisons or something?
Sure. Yeah. Or like strength boosters for me, or like another weapon. Whatever you have. I don't have time I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't have time for the small talk. And I put all of my gold up on the counter and sort of just slide it over. Please, whatever you can give me.
I'm looking here. So you want a poison, right?
Literally whatever she'll give me.
You see her, she pulls out a bottle, and there's like a little skull on it, and it's like sickly purple. She says, "Well, I have this. This is one of the strongest poisons you can get."
How much?
2,000.
Done. And he slides over 2,000.
Okay. Do you want more poisons, or do you want maybe a potion or something to help you?
Yeah, potion. Strength, magic, potion.
Strength.
Anything.
I have this potion of frost giant strength.
Can you sell it for 1,200?
Yeah, I mean, it's only 1,000.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And this poison, this kills, right? This is paralyzer or put some sleep. This kills, right?
It's harvested from a purple worm itself, a creature that you place it on your weapon and then attack that creature with it. It has the chance to deal poison damage. That is roughly 12d6.
Jesus
Christ. Okay, perfect. I'm gonna put those in my bag. Thank you so much. I only have like 200 coins left. I don't know if there's anything else that I can get with that.
Well, what do you want?
You know, I think that's good. That should be enough. That should be enough.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
You see, she like places a hand on your shoulder. Are you okay?
Not really. I'm not strong enough. Not for this.
Her ears kind of like flatten a little bit. What do you mean?
Someone very strong and manipulative and scary is coming, and I'm not strong enough.
I don't think you should be worried about being strong enough. You look plenty strong. I see the strength inside of you. And you see her eyes kind of like glow like a blue color as she's like examining you. Your heart is pure, and you have many friends that will have your back.
Okay. Yep, you're right. I just need to breathe.
There's this weird idea when it comes to being a hero or being strong that those people don't see fear or feel it, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they're so strong, is because they have the fear and they know what can happen if they lose, so it gives them the power to continue on.
Okay. Feel the fear, and that makes me stronger then. Okay. I'll try. Thank you for stuff. I'm sorry for barging in while you're closed. That was jackassy of me. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Do you need anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Are you hungry?
Not really. Thank you, though.
I have wine. Would you like some?
You know, fuck it. I've never had wine before. Let's do it.
She smiles and hops down
off the shelf. And she asks you to follow her, and she leads you through that like beaded wall, that beaded door. Mm. And at first you see like a workshop and like an alchemy station. And she walks through that room into her living quarters. And you see it's like two or three rooms, but the main room has like this big big cushions, and there's like a table with a hookah on it. And she walks over to this like wine rack and pulls off one, and you see it has like a little goblin face on it. And she brings over two glasses and gives you one. She said, "This is a wine that my mother used to make. It is about 40 years old. And this is the last one."
Oh, you're gonna... Are you sure you don't want to save that for something else?
I promised I'd save it to share it with someone special. You see, she pops it and pours two glasses.
Appreciate that.
Of course.
He's gonna try to chug it.
Yeah. It's like a dry wine.
Oh no, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I'm rolling con. Okay, I rolled a 9.
Oh buddy.
I definitely don't like it, buddy. But I continue drinking it out of respect. It's good. It's good.
We're supposed to let it aerate a little bit. I'm sorry.
I don't know how wine works. I'm sorry.
You just did it so fast.
Nope, I'm still panicking. It's okay.
I know. That's okay. Just let it breathe for a second and then take a sip. And then you do that and it tastes like 10 times better.
Holy shit, what kind of magic is this?
Nature, baby. I don't know what to tell you. It's just fermented grapes and stuff. It's crazy.
It's good shit.
Yeah, and she like offers for you to sit down.
I think it takes a second for him to stop panting and like pacing and to finally like realize that he's being rude by not sitting down, and he feels a little lightheaded from all this, so sits down.
The whole time she's just patiently watching, sipping with her legs crossed, just watching.
My stepdad. Working with Marvin.
That's so cool. Well, you know how family can be. It can be a real bitch.
Yeah. No. Guy just swoops in, thinks he can take over a family after a grieving period, and acts like he owns the fucking place afterwards. Am I right? Takes another sip. I'm sorry. I should go. I'm sorry. I ran out on Preston and Dex, and they probably don't even know where I went. I'm gonna go.
Well, I mean, did you fly right here?
Yeah, but I think Marvin showed up, or like an aspect of him showed up at that time. I don't know.
Do you want me to send them a message?
Yeah, send them a message. I need. Okay. I do need.
You're welcome to leave, but you could stay if you want.
I'll just. And I just kind of curl up in a ball on the floor.
You see her do some spell and sends it off, and then she sits down next to you and just puts your head in her lap and just kind of rubs your back.
You know what the worst part is?
What?
This fucking bastard swoops in, comes into our lives, expects us to be all hunky-dory. Anything goes wrong, he starts throwing shit and yelling and threatening me and Mom. Well, he's not nice to her either, or anyone. And the fucked up part is, part of me still wants his approval. Isn't that fucked?
Hey, no.
Isn't that so fucked up? I still want him to like me.
She continues like rubbing her back. She goes,
sometimes we want the approval of the ones who are supposed to be taking care of us, even if they don't deserve it. And there's nothing wrong with that, Scott.
Okay.
Seems like you want everyone to like you, because you want to like everyone. And that's okay.
I don't even know you. Read me like a fucking book.
Well, I just see the best in people.
It's hard doing that, isn't it?
Yes, but you make better connections if you try first.
And I just kind of lay there for a minute and breathe and get it all out as best I can.
Yeah, and we'll cut from that to Preston and Dex. You guys are back. You guys have made it into town after the like 20-30 minute walk. Where do you guys head to first?
All right, Dex. If we were Scott, where would the first place be that we would go?
Well, not Tix's, because like you, he's fucking horrified of women.
Yeah.
Is there like a...
I think Scott and I share quite the fear of those.
Yeah, is there like a Fortnite store?
Oh my gosh!
Wait, what about a Switch accessory store? Only accessories, not actual Switches.
Preston, you hear in your head Tix's voice.
Preston, Scott is with me in my shop. He is safe. We are having some wine.
Fortnite!
And he is resting. You're welcome to come.
Is this like a one-way thing, Nort?
You can send 25 words back.
It's like a tweet. Oh, okay.
It's message. It's message, yeah. It's okay. Send message.
Yeah.
Or sending.
All right. Oh, I'm definitely going to send this back in text lingo. Okay, imagine it. Okay, imagine it like this. Imagine this
I'm
is
imagine
like
it,
pressing
baby.
Texting this back. Okay.
It's almost like that's what we
okay.
do
Okay, be right there. Traffic is heavy. Tell Scott we love him. XOXO.
Okay. You get another message.
If you wish, he is safe. Come into the back.
That's what she said.
That's what you send back?
At the very end, it's like a PS. But but no, I prefaced that with thanks for watching over him. We're on our way. PS, that's what she said.
Okay, yeah. You don't get another thing back.
And Preston looks so fucking smug, too. He's like, fucking nailed that shit.
You see, that's what I'm saying, Preston. Fortnite is like a direct link to the downfall of like anime and like alternative culture as a whole, dude. Like, are you even listening to me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I found out where Scott is.
He's with... What?
I got messaged... a girl talked to me. What can I say?
Holy shit.
I guess some of San's teachings really did rub off on me.
Yeah, really?
Oh.
And I like puff my chest out and see that. Show that Kathy. And get, like, so Kathy knows that I could talk to other girls too.
Whoa.
Dex, can you roll me an insight, please?
Fuck.
Gladly. That's a 6 plus 7. So 13.
So you see, she has like a very stoic face, like always, and she's still that female dwarf that she changed herself into. But you see, like her eye twitch a little.
Preston doesn't see it.
No.
And Dex is doing like the fucking like the shaking his hand in front of his neck thing, like.
Is there something on my neck? Anyway. Oh, yeah, there's a scale out of place. Thanks.
So, Kathy, you know what I meant, right? With the whole Fortnite thing? And they're walking.
Unfortunately, I do know a lot about that. Hassan wouldn't shut up about it.
Shocker.
But he was for it, but... He didn't include the anime thing like you did, though. But
I should really reconnect with Sean. It was really nice seeing him again.
So you guys are going right to Scott.
Our boy needs us. Okay.
So you're going to Scott first before you go to the stables, correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, yeah. You guys go in, and the back door of the shop is like on the back end of like an alleyway. There's like a bunch of trash cans and stuff, and then just enough room for like a person to walk down.
As soon as I hear someone coming in, I immediately just jolt up and try to wipe everything off my face, the tears and the snot and everything, just trying to like make myself look presentable.
She would have told you what they said, so. And then you guys, the door's unlocked, and then you walk in. And you see like a kitchen, a small kitchenette area. And there is like steampunk versions of your appliances from like Earth. Like there, that's cool. there's like a freezer, but like it's similar to like their first freezers we had, where it was like just like a big block of ice shoved in the bottom.
Like an ice box.
Yeah. And then the fridge looks like it's like magically ran by like a tiny little like ice elemental kind of.
Two dudes will change the podcast world.
Hey, do you like movies? Do you like silly goof times? Do you like getting deep for no reason randomly over anything? Then you should come watch So You Finally Watched with me, Nort.
And me, Matthew.
Where we take turns watching movies the other hasn't seen, like Breakfast Club,
Avengers Endgame,
Harry Potter,
and Wayne's World.
Grab some popcorn, crack open a Sody Pop, and sit down for some movie talk every other Thursday on the Encounter Code Network. Hell yeah.
That's cool.
Or like an ice Muffet almost. I think they're called Muffets or Muppets. Ice Meffet. I'm a dummy. There's like a little ice Meffet in like a sphere, and it's just kind of like sitting in there. Kind of like looks bored, but it doesn't look hurt or anything. Just kind of sitting in there. And the oven's all steampunky.
Would you say he's chilling?
Do you say that? You say chilling?
Yeah.
It looks at you. And you see he gets like, starts icing over.
Should I have not said that? What is he doing?
I don't think
you see
so.
He draws a little dick in the gun.
Oh, now that's just vulgar.
That's just hell rude. Yeah, this guy's chill. And Dex fist bumps him.
Why does he get to make the pun?
What pun?
Boy, when I say traffic was heavy. Scott?
Hey, how are you guys? Well, you both okay? Sorry, I didn't mean to like run out on you both like that.
No, it's fine. Are you okay?
Yeah, roll me a constitution, yeah, Luke.
Me? Oh no. Don't put me through this. Okay, yeah, it's a 16 plus 3, 19. We're good.
You've had a glass or two. You definitely buzzing, but you're not like intoxicated or anything. You just feel a little warm, and you're like a little more calm, if that makes sense.
Scott's been drunk enough times at this point that he can handle his wine.
This is strong wine. This is like this is old good ass wine.
yeah, just had a little panic attack. Jason, Miles, that guy, stepdad.
Oh.
It's okay, though. Tix gave me some potions and poisons, and I'm gonna kill him.
Well, hold on, man.
Are
you sure?
Yeah. That's the plan.
Scott.
No, it's great. It's no, nothing questioning going on here like we were with Kathy. You know, no offense, but we were questioning whether or not we were going to kill you. But this is a clean cut and dry mission now. We're just going to kill this guy. It's pretty simple.
You point out Kathy?
Hey,
I mean, dwarf,
she sets down,
lady,
she sets down her glass.
Sorry, that was so the wine.
Fuck.
Okay, you didn't kill
her?
Tix?
There were things that we had no,
I'm so sorry,
not aware of. And I move, Preston moves his body between them. As a precaution.
Tix, you know how fucked up Marvin is.
She's just standing there.
He's not beyond using people like pawns. And that's what Kathy was, okay? A pawn. We took her off the board. She is not a threat.
Okay. So what about all the innocent people she's killed?
That wasn't her.
She's gonna make up for it, right? I'm so sorry. I mouth to Dwarf Kathy. I'm so sorry.
You see, Dwarf Kathy's not scared. She does not really want to show fear. Mm-hmm. She's not reaching for anything either. I mean, you guys didn't give her wand back either way, mm-hmm. but she has like a dagger on her hip. But you see, Tix isn't either. She's just kind of like her hands are out just in case she needs to cast something. She says, okay. Maybe a warning, you were bringing a war criminal into my home, would have been nice.
I'm so sorry.
We're here, Tix.
She looks at you, confused. What do you mean?
We're war criminals.
In what way?
Does it matter?
I mean, we're all on the same boat now.
Yeah.
Marvin wants us all dead.
Either you're in or you're out.
I've never not been in.
Okay, well then, drop it.
Tix.
No,
she
Scott?
Has the right to be a little put off. That's
yes,
on me,
but...
Tix. I didn't warn you about that. I'm sorry.
You see, she walks over, like up to Kathy, and she says, "Let me see." Kathy, let me see. Kathy looks at you, Preston.
As in, like, she's...
Like to,
looking
like,
for...
To see if you trust her.
Oh.
Like, if you trust this person, that this goblin.
I give her a very... a really like curt nod, like a very like sharp nod, and like my eyes like focus. It's like a really sharp, like direct movement, very like no bullshit, just do it type of thing.
For sure. You see Tix raises a hand and places it on her like chest, and you see she's casting some magic and her eyes glow blue again. And you see her just kind of like siphoning through things. You see Kathy willingly fail some save.
You were tricked, weren't you? I do feel some remorse for the things you've done, at least.
See, she like runs her hand back up underneath Kathy's chin and lifts it up. And you see Kathy's disguise drop.
Hmm. What happened to your arm?
See, Kathy looks at her and goes,
I had him cut it off. It's the only way.
You see, she kind of like squeezes her face, not hard, but just like enough to like bring her face down to her.
Don't hurt these boys.
She lets go and walks past. She like pats you on the chest, Dex, as she walks by. But it's like your abs because you're so tall.
Yeah.
it's like metal too, so it's like ding ding.
Yep.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Thank you for your hospitality, Tix. I really appreciate everything you did.
Yeah, if you need anything else before you leave, I'm open.
I'll keep that in mind. Kathy, I'm so sorry.
Kathy just like makes eye contact with you, not with like she's hurt or anything,
just like
she is completely aware of the things she's done.
Eye contact. Yeah. That's the
well,
worst.
It's like,
okay,
it's like she knows, she's like she deserves everything that's happening. She is not.
Mm-hmm. Mm, gotcha.
Ugh.
And I walk out of the back of the store.
Yeah, and everyone follows you, I assume.
Yeah.
As you guys are walking, you hear Kathy pipes up behind you, Scott. You didn't want to stay with her?
No, no, we've got shit we need to do. And they shouldn't be drinking right now anyways.
I don't not appropriate think time. We should... I think we need to come up with some sort of plan before we just kind of run out here and start flying off the wall.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't have flew out like that. That was not cool of me. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in. Nobody blames you for feeling the way you do.
I'm okay. I'm okay. Like, you don't have to worry about me. This is... I was... fucked up part of me was worried that, you know, when we got back... If and when we got back to the real world, I wouldn't have any of this powers, but I would still go try to kick his ass just because this place is giving me kind of an ego boost, but I don't have to worry about that. You know, I can just do it here now. I don't have to worry about the law or what mom's gonna think or anything.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
You realize you would still have to worry about what you think.
Oh, and I... Who cares what I think?
I mean, you should.
You should. I do.
I do.
Same here.
Preston does. Nibs.
Thanks, Nibs.
Michelle.
Dex, in your mind, you hear I do.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah. It's like fucking Horologium and Fairy Tale. Like, Dex is like, I do, the crab says.
Well, I think he's a bad guy who, especially if he's working with Marvin, does not deserve to live. Well, where he can hurt more people and do more fucked up shit and get away with it because whatever male sociopathic privilege he has.
Well, I understand that what he's done in our world is not okay. We don't have the full picture in this world. Same way we had no idea what Kathy was going through.
Unfortunately, I can't remember everything when I was with Marvin due to the connection break. But I did hear Jason's, I believe, his locker room talk, he called it.
Yeah, that's what he calls it.
Don't love that. Don't love how that's phrased.
He was very...
Yeah, that's off to a bad start.
The things he'd say about me and the other women, well, that's a rough.
I can see that.
Okay. Beginning to lean towards the side of just killing him more. Dex, but you might have to be the somewhat maybe not even wanted voice of reason for this piece of shit. I'm not gonna lie. That kinda convinced me. I think I'm on Scott's side now. I'm not gonna bullshit you. I wouldn't mind shoving my staff up his ass.
Dex, the only reason I don't have any bruises from him is because mom was always there.
He dies.
Great.
Thank you.
Wow, this is so much more cut and dry than the Kathy case was.
That's what I'm saying!
Sometimes bad guys don't. The layers they have are just bad.
True. He's like an evil onion. Every layer.
Yes. Like my shipmate Shrek. Spelled with two E's.
Shriek.
Yeah, his name was Shriek. It's like my shipmate Shriek.
Luke, what is Scott's constitution score?
It is a 15.
Okay. Dex looks down to Scott. You're going to be in the front on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll back you up. So will Preston. But you're going to be in the front. This is your kill.
That's...
And Dex pulls his rosary off and puts it on Scott's neck. And Luke, Scott now has a constitution score of 19.
Yeah. Damn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
I would give you my staff of fireballs, but
I don't
know how much you'd want to use it. When
I'm gonna use my sword.
Or an owl bear.
I'm gonna use my cheesy, nerdy ass sword.
I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool too.
It's good.
I was saying that sort of like in a third person, as if like that's what he would call it.
Oh,
I mean,
see, I was gonna say it's gonna look even cooler when you cut his head off with it. I mean, that's gonna be pretty metal. We are really devolving, aren't we? The longer we're in this,
a little bit.
Your Kathy becomes normal. Kathy speaks up. She goes, "I mean, Zelda's cool. I like Zelda. As a gamer girl, I feel like I'm required to like Zelda. But I also really like Warhammer 40K.
Oh hell yeah, Henry Cavill."
And she like pulls her dagger out. She's like, "That's actually what this is styled on." And you see just like this wicked ass curved blade.
No fucking way. That's dope.
Preston is blushing.
Oh,
it's reminding him all the reasons why he like fell for her in the first place. She's just so like unapologetically her.
Dex starts like, he whips his backpack around to his front and starts like sifting through it and like sniffing. He's like, "Where the fuck did that thing
Dex,
go?
What the fuck?"
And Dex pulls out his Medal of Merit from episode 1.
Oh shit.
And he goes, "Here, I'm pretty sure you'll get like, you know, if I had to put it into like, if this was like a game, you know, I would say that like this would, I'm pretty sure it gives you like 50 temporary hit points whenever you want to use it." And Dex tosses Scott the pie medal.
Say 50?
Oh shit.
5-0.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like, I'm pretty sure.
I'll listen back to episode 1.
I'll just Google
we'll figure
it.
That out. Either way.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Either way, you get hit points.
Sure you don't want to save some of this for Marvin? Holy shit.
Nah, I don't need it. If we die fighting Marvin, we died trying. I want this guy dead more than I want to kill Marvin right now.
Kathy speaks up. She says, "About that, are you gonna let me fight with you guys? I mean, like, I was pretty good. I didn't fight the goblin lady, and I am regretful. I am remorseful for what I did. So I would. Can I have my wand back so I can, I don't know, actually help you guys?"
Do I have her wand?
Yeah.
Without even thinking, I pull it out of my belt loop and I hand it to her.
Yeah. I can be helpful. I'm good in a fight.
All right.
Nibs goes, "Yeah, I was going to ask if you just give it to her because, like, I mean, there's four of us, so she's going to do something and we're just going to deal with it. I don't think she's going to, though. I mean, she seems pretty cool. She gave me snack. That was nice.
Aww.
And she called me a good boy. That was cool.
You're a good boy.
Oh, you're into that?
Yeah, thank you. You're I am. A good boy. And then, so I've been doing," and he pulls out little glasses. "I've been doing some compilations for the travels to get to Litwick," and you see he has like this big map and like this map inside of this like little book he's carrying, this little artificer book. Mm-hmm. By my estimations, it'd be about like, you know, like if we just like went hard and into paint, we'd get there in about 3 days, but we would probably be detected by something. And, you know, if we went like normal paced or slower, it would change that. But I don't know what you guys wanted to do.
I say let's just do normal pace and make our way over there. No reason to. If there's an opportunity to get the jump on him, let's take it.
And if we take more time, we can come up with cooler quips to use in battle.
Yes, that'd be cool. And also, we could go see your girlfriend at the stables, Preston.
Wow, okay, Nibs. What the fuck?
The Encounter Table, Marvin's game is Joe LaJoyce as Preston Adelin, Luke Godfrey as Scott Travis, myself, Brandon Hall as Dex Turner, and our DM is Austin Norton. If you want to support this show in the absolute best way possible, you can head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/theencountertablepod, or you can click the link in the episode description. If you do head over to our Patreon, you will get loads and loads of exclusive content and goodies and treats, and you'll also be just as cool as Dragon Reaper, Skylar Radulovich, Ella Santiago, Josie Seward, and another Josie. As per usual, all of our socials are in the episode description, and without further ado, The Encounter Table, Marvin's Game, episode 41, Fucking Intense, comes out March 20th, wherever you get your podcast fix. Alright, thanks everyone. God bless. Love ya.
Well, I try to do something, you know, I try to cut you guys off when I feel like it's enough of a bit, but then Brandon comes here and is like, no, you don't.
We're done.
Okay, fine. I will ever talk again.
I'm going to go blow my nose. I will be right back.
What did you just say, Brandon?
I said, fine, I'll just never talk again.
You went from top energy to brat energy so fucking fast.
Hanging out with my girlfriend too much. And now I have to tell her the joke. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.